Would you pray with me? Lord, you do deserve all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Lord, your word tells us that you are our shepherd and we are the sheep of your pasture. Lord, tune our ears to hear your voice. There's so many voices coming at us. Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom to recognize truth, to hear your voice, and to follow. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated, and the children can be dismissed at this time.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. We're going to be looking at verse 3 this morning. Hope you're enjoying this little slow walk through one of the most popular chapters in all of the Bible. And if I haven't met you yet, my name's Lane, one of the leaders here at Bridge Church, and get the opportunity to lead us in this time of Bible study today. We have several great things going on over the next couple of weeks. We'll have some announcements at the end, but today I'm excited about our preteen hangout. Going into the summer, we always try to do some preteen Bible study specifically for this key age group, 5th and 6th grade. I know one church calls this Club 56. I think that's pretty cool. 5th and 6th grade. And so they'll be having a hangout today. And then next Sunday is our next Equip Luncheon. And we do these throughout the year 4 to 6 times. And this is just an opportunity. We want to be a church that makes disciples who make other disciples. If you want to learn how to be a Christian that makes disciples, Jesus gave the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. He didn't give that just to preachers or pastors. He gave that to everybody that claims the name of Christ. And so we want to provide these equipped luncheons to talk about an issue around making disciples. So you have a QR code there because we need to know how many, so that we can have lunch for both. We provide child care and lunch on the Sundays. We do our QR equipped luncheon. Now, you see, this is a special one because it's 5-5, which means Mexican food, right? So we'll have Mexican food here and equipping on disciple making next Sunday here at Bridge Church. And, we like to say our mission is connecting disconnected people to Christ and His mission. And we do that through utilizing existing community and neighborhood space to gather people in the marketplace around God's Word to learn how to make disciples. And so we like to say that church is about connecting with God, making friends, that's why we sit around tables, and finding meaning and purpose. One great way to find meaning and purpose is through serving. And we have opportunities for you to serve inside here through helping with our kids' ministry, helping with the youth ministry. We have Faith in Action Sundays. We have our local ministry projects like Oakville Mobile Home Park on Friday at the bus stop. And we're developing relationships with other bus stops as well. And also, you have missions opportunities and mission trips. And I am excited about the summer because we're getting back some mission trips going on. I'm looking forward to the Zimbabwe mission trip specifically. And I got some pictures from a recent trip there that I wanted to show this morning just so you can know how to pray and what we'll be doing on this trip. So, we'll be going to an area called Binga, which is a very remote part along the Zambia-Zimbabwe border in southern Africa, and just down from Victoria Falls, actually. There's no good roads here in this area, but it's just down there. There's just not a road to get to Victoria Falls. We'll also be working with some AIDS orphanages. There are about 1 million orphans in Zimbabwe, only 10 million people, or 15 million people. So a big percentage of the population are orphans, mostly because of the AIDS crisis. And now, if you've been watching the news, Africa, southern Africa, is in a huge drought, so there's famine. So, and this has caused a great crisis, and a lot of families abandon their children just because they can't feed them. So they abandon them at these orphanages, and we'll be serving at some of those. And then in rural churches, doing church leadership training, like at this church in the Binga area. And I have a map there. That's Zimbabwe, South Africa, Mozambique, And where the arrow is Binga, where we'll be going. And where Livingston is Victoria Falls, which you've seen probably on your computer screensaver. You know, every now and then it pops up once or twice a year. You know, but if you got a Microsoft computer anyway. And so I'm excited about this trip. We also have some trips to some other places, Honduras, Cuba, and some other things we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. But one way to find purpose in your life in Christ is through serving and giving and getting out there on mission with God. Being a disciple who makes disciples and then saying yes to some of the myriad opportunities in our community and around the world to serve and be on mission. And that's how we bring glory to God and we find our purpose and meaning in this life is through that. Well, let's jump into Psalms 23 this morning. We're going to look at verse 3 of this great chapter. Some of you are trying to memorize this. Anybody want to share your memorization skills with us this morning? How about anybody know Psalms 23 verse 3? Anybody know that one? I know some of the kids did because they were quoting it to me this week. But, all right, no takers. Well, next week we're just going to call on somebody, okay? So get ready. But let's read this whole chapter together, and then we'll focus in this morning on verse 3. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life." Or maybe your translation says, "He restores my soul. He leads me along the right paths," or paths of righteousness, "for His name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness, or surely goodness and faithful love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So this morning, we want to focus in on verse 3. We've kind of divided these with key words. We talked first week about contentment, and then last week about rest. And if we had to use a word for this week, I would say it's purpose. The great shepherd gives us purpose, and he leads us to a life of purpose. And so this verse talks about really one of the deepest needs of the human heart. And it's one of the biggest needs that people are striving to find today. We have a crisis of identity and purpose. And so we're constantly searching for things that may give us meaning and hope. And in ancient times, they had false gods that they put their trust in. We have things that give false hope and false meaning, like material things and money and pleasures and those type of things. But ultimately, we find still no purpose, no meaning in these. And it's our great shepherd that promises to give us purpose and meaning. And really, deeper than just the promise, this passage reminds us that he leads us there to a life of purpose and meaning. So let's look at these words this morning, comforting words we find in Psalms 23:3. The first line, let's just take it line by line. It says, "He renews my life." Or maybe your translation says, "He restores my soul." Now this word renew or restore, it literally means turn back or return. And this is saying that the shepherd, our great shepherd, God turns us back or returns us to a previous state. Basically, it's God, and only God, really, that could truly set the reset button of our lives. Don't you love that about computers? You know, if it goes wacko, I can just hit restart, and it reboots. Or video games, if you play video games, right? You get going, and you're doing badly. You can just restart and start all over again. Too bad life's not like that sometimes, right? But spiritual life is like that. God, through salvation and through reconciliation and through forgiveness, God hits the reset button and restores our lives. And this line reminds us that God, our shepherd, he serves as our healer. He alone can restore our health. He serves as our great physician, our great counselor. And He alone can take me back to where I was before. This is a great picture, I think, of what salvation in Christ really is all about. Salvation is the restoration of a right relationship with God. So ultimately, the big picture here of God restoring our soul is what we find in the gospel. The gospel says that God created a world that was a perfect place. And He created the world for a perfect relationship between His creation and man and woman. He fellowshipped with them. He walked with them in the garden. God desired this right relationship. But sin broke into this world when Adam and Eve chose the forbidden fruit over God's way and God in a relationship with God. There was brokenness that came in. But God, in His love, sent Christ to be the great reset button. And in Christ, what we find is a restored right relationship with God. When we put our faith in Christ, our right relationship with God is restored. And the Bible says, there's a theological term for this, justification. And I like what one country preacher used to say. He said that means God makes it just if I'd never sinned. You're justified. He restores. He renews. He takes you back to the default setting that He originally wanted in life, which was a right relationship with you. And then once, as believers, though in this life, that right relationship will never be perfect because we still are in a world of sin. And we still struggle with temptation. And no one's perfect on this side of heaven. Well, you know what God promises for that person? He promises that when we sin, we can come to Him and He will restore the joy of our salvation. He again will renew that justified feeling. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 12 are the writings of King David after he had sinned egregiously against God and against another man's wife. And he says in this verse, this is his prayer, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit." See, even when we sin after a right relationship with God, God's restoring work is still there. You know, we live in a world where things, if you take that creation, brokenness, and salvation in Christ narrative that we teach, the three circles. Maybe you've seen the three circles. You can look that up in the way to share the gospel. God created a world of love and fellowship, but sin broke that world. But in Christ, we find restoration and renewal. And we live in this world of brokenness. There was a book about this world a few years ago that was called Not the Way It Was Supposed to Be. Not the way it's supposed to be. And the book is about sin and sin's impact. And I love that title and because that's the world we live in. And as we look around at injustice, and then as we look inside at our own struggle and sin, one thing you can say is this is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not what God intended. And it's not what God ultimately wants for our lives. And I think this verse reminds us of that, that God is in the renewal, restoring business. And wherever things are not the way they're supposed to be, you'll find God at work there. In Zimbabwe, it's not the way it's supposed to be. 1 million orphans, parents abandoning their kids because they can't feed them, population dying because of disease. It's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way God wants it to be. So He brings restoration through churches, through people that will go and help, and through believers that will go on those front lines and help. And there's a promise, ultimate salvation for those that put their faith in Christ there. Sin is not the way it's supposed to be. So when I sin, He restores my spirit, and He brings me back to a right relationship with Him. We can even say sickness is not the way it's supposed to be. So It's God that can restore my health when I'm exhausted and I'm weary and I'm not at my best. You know what? It's God that can restore my energy when I'm carrying a heavy load of the dirt and grime of this broken world. You know what? Just like the shepherd restores those sheep with green pastures and beautiful springs, God, our shepherd, can restore our energy by bringing us into a place of rest and healing. And when I've gotten off track, which we all do, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, as the old hymn says, and Larry mentioned last week. We get off track. You know what? It's God that can restore my way. And that leads us to that next line. He leads me along the right paths, or paths of righteousness. Let's take that first, those first three words. He leads me. So think about that. When I'm off track, it's God that will lead me. God wants us to follow Him, is the reminder here. Jesus called to His disciples and to all of us, follow me. Follow me. He wants to be a leader in this relationship. And He alone deserves to be the leader. And He alone has the right wisdom to be the leader through this life's brokenness. The word lead here, it means guide. Or it also means, I like this definition, turn one's eyes to, or turn one's attention to. And that is that picture of God always bringing the one that's following Him back. Hey, don't look over there, right? Look here. Look here. Stay focused. Follow me. Because when our eyes get off of Him is when we get in trouble. We talked a few weeks ago about Peter, who stepped out of the boat into the water to walk on the water. And Jesus said, come to me. And he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water until what? Until he looked at the waves. He looked at the waves and he started to sink. And so many times in my life, I've done that. I've walked with God through difficult circumstances. But then when I look at the circumstances, start looking around me, start listening to what everybody else is saying, you know what? I start to sink. But if we can let Him lead us, if we can keep our eyes focused on Him. I think of the racehorse. If you've seen the racehorse, they put these things they call blinders on the side of a racehorse's eyes. Because a horse has great peripheral vision. They've got eyes on both sides of their head right there. And so to get them to run straight and to stay focused in one direction, they have to put these blinders so they don't see the other horses or see what's going on or see the green pastures over in the field next to them. And sometimes I wish, man, I wish I had those blinders so I wouldn't get distracted by shiny objects around me. When I'm following God appropriately and then something else pops up, oh man, I really want to go over there, you know. And God's always bringing our eyes back. Hey, this is the way. That's what I like. There's a verse, Isaiah 30:21, that where it actually says this. It promises this, that those that want to follow Him, those that desire to follow Him, this is the promise. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. I pray that sometimes. Say, Lord, show me the way. Help me not get off track. Let me hear Your voice. Tell me which way to walk in. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel left Egypt, the Bible says that God guided them by a cloud during the day and a fire at night. And that's what God can be to all of us. He wants to lead us if we're willing to look. He wants us to keep us going in the right direction. He wants us to keep us from getting distracted by shiny objects that can destroy our spiritual and physical and emotional lives. He is our leader. And where does He lead us? The Bible tells us He leads me along the right paths. Or maybe your translation said paths of righteousness. I love this word paths. This word, it means entrenchment. Or here's another way to look at it. A well-worn path. A trail. Okay. So God leads us down a trail, and if you've been on a trail, if you've gone hiking, you know no matter what tempts you, it's usually good, especially the further you are away from civilization, stay on the trail, right? Because there's a reason that there's a trail here. Because people have made a trail usually along the easiest path, you know. And I've made that mistake before. It's just, I think it would be cool to go down this hill. There's no trail there, but I'll go down that hill anyway. Well, you know what? There's not a way back up that hill. Or it's harder to climb. And those type of things. Stay on the trail. That's what God is leading us down, a well-worn path. And this well-worn path is called righteousness. The book of Isaiah calls it the highway of holiness. It's an ancient path that leads us to what is best and right for our lives according to the one that created this planet and has ancient wisdom, actually eternal wisdom. The word righteousness just means just, righteous, or normal. This is how we're meant to live. This is the default setting that you could have found in the Garden of Eden, okay? The way of righteousness. If you ever want to restore your heart to the default setting, this is it. Find the path of righteousness. And if you're following the right leader, he'll lead you there. It's a good reminder. There is a right path. And today when so many people says, well, that's your truth and I have my truth. So, no, the Bible reminds us there's one way. There's one path. And there's a right path. Like we had a saying growing up in my rural town. People would say when you were leaving, you know, they would say bye. When you say goodbye or whatever you say. There was a common thing that I'd heard men say growing up. Always stuck with me. It's this. They would say, keep it between the ditches. You ever heard that? You know? Keep it between the ditches. You know, hey, buddy. This is kind of like saying bless you in rural settings, I guess. You know, keep it between the ditches. I hope you stay on the well-worn path. Don't run off the road. I hope you have smooth traveling today and don't end up in a ditch. And that's what this verse is saying. The shepherd will help you keep it between the ditches of life. And people may say, well, and a lot of people are saying today, I don't want to walk on your well-worn path because this seems judgmental to me or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But there will be consequences if you get off God's well-worn path. If you get off the path of righteousness, there will be consequences. You can't believe whatever you want, act on every impulse, pursue any pleasure, and have the same outcomes that those that follow the well-worn path will have. It just doesn't work out that way. The Bible promises that sin leads to death and destruction, and righteousness leads to life and peace, period. And for some people that I love, I wish it weren't that way. I wish all paths would lead to some of the same outcome, but it doesn't. We need a leader. We need restoration. We need righteousness. And God promises to lead us there. And in the well-worn path, you can find no consequence. I love what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 when it's talking about the law of love. It says, love your neighbor as yourself, for there's no law against this. All the law and prophets are fulfilled in this. In other words, if you practice that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor. This is the path of righteousness. And you know what it says? No consequence can touch you. If you live according to His righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. What comes first? It's righteousness. Then the outcomes that we desire. There are false messages and false voices all around us. The Bible says in several places in Proverbs, I think 16:25 is one of them, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man or to a person, but the end thereof is a way of death. So that's what we're tempted to follow. That's the shiny objects. This is a way that seems right. You know what we find in our Good Shepherd? That He leads us on the way that is right. And you'll never be disappointed to follow that well-worn path. And you know what? It's getting to the point where if you want to be different, stay on this well-worn path. Because fewer and fewer people are following it. And Jesus even said that this would be what? A narrow way. So if you want to be different, choose to follow the lead of this shepherd. Now let's talk about the how for a minute. How does this happen? Yeah, but how? That's what I had a friend that used to write that in his Bible, in the columns of his Bible. He'd write, he'd come to a great verse and he'd just write YBH. Yeah, but how? So maybe you're thinking that this morning. Yeah, but how? Let's think about how does He renew us and lead us? Well, there are four ways that I can think of this morning when we think about the how. If I want to follow the lead of this shepherd, I have four things at my disposal. One is His Word. His Word and prayer. And this is how we relate to God. God has spoken to us through His Word. And He's given through Christ access to Himself through prayer. And see, that's your first calling every day, is intimacy with God. Whatever else you do, if you're a believer, you are made first to fellowship and have intimacy with God. That's the default setting. Remember, God created us for relationship and for fellowship. And God's given us this great tool, His Word, and access to Him through prayer to foster that relationship. So if you want to follow the lead of this great shepherd, if you want to find renewal and restoration for whatever you're going through in life, start there. His Word and prayer. Psalms 119, 105. His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you're finding the path hard and difficult, blurry, dark, turn to His Word, the Bible says. And the Word is not just the book. The Word is a person. Jesus called Himself the Word, the Logos. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus speaks to us through His Word that was given miraculously to us. And so His Word is where we listen and hear for His voice and His Word and prayer. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And He goes on to say, and I give them eternal life. So, if we want renewal, if we want leadership, first place to turn is to His Word and prayer. And with a heart to obey it, not just to know it. It's not just trivia and facts that we're trying to know. We're trying to actually do what it says. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? Righteousness is found in actual doing what Jesus said. Obedience to Him. A second thing, if you want to find renewal and leadership from God, is we have access to His Spirit. When you give your life to Christ, the Bible says He gives us His Spirit. He seals us with His Spirit. And we have His Spirit living within us. And it's the communication force between us and God. And the Spirit, the Bible says, teaches us all things and reminds us about what Jesus said. And the Bible says that the Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And the Spirit will help us know what to do, where to go, right from wrong, if we're listening and in tune with the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit. And that is just simply be mindful that the Spirit is there, desiring to guide you and renew you and empower you and use you. Now, if you refuse to listen to the Spirit, the Bible says that the Spirit can become grieved. Ephesians 4:30 tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our lifestyles, by our choices, by choosing sin and disobedience over the right paths over and over again. You know, eventually our hearts become callous to the Spirit's convicting. And the Bible says that God can just turn you over and say, okay, I've tried to convict you. I've tried to lead you. I've tried to guide you. I'll let you have it your own way. Because the Spirit is grieved because of your lack of willingness to turn in the direction He's trying to lead you. We have His Word and prayer, relationship. We have His Spirit. We also have a third thing, His people. Godly counsel is part of the way He renews us and leads us. That's why these relationships we develop at church over the course of our lifespans are so important, because we get godly counsel from each other. And in hearing how God is working in your life and seeing God work at your life, that helps me have faith that God can work in my circumstances situation. Then hearing how you overcame that and how God led you, godly counsel is one of the key things we have as Christians in our life. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about this. I like Proverbs about this. Proverbs 11:4. There's a bunch of verses here. Without guidance, a people fall, but with many counselors, there's deliverance. Proverbs 12:15. A fool's way is right in his own eyes, but whoever listens to counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. 19:20. Listen to counsel, receive instruction, so that you may be wise later in life. For you youth out there, right? And then 24:6. For you should wage war with sound guidance. Victory comes with many counselors. So are we listening to those around us? And are we developing relationships with godly counselors and mentors and friends? And then are you offering that to other people as well? Are you talking about them away from their presence, or to them offering godly counsel and prayer? His Word and prayer, His Spirit, His people. And a fourth thing is His work or circumstances. God also renews us and leads us as we watch His activity in the world. The Bible says about itself in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, these things were written, you know, so that we may learn and that we may know. And these things are written for our value. So we have the stories in the Bible to learn from work and His circumstances and how He works. And then we also have His work in our lives. We ought to learn as we go through life. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6 that the Lord disciplines those that He loves. Now we can't say, I can't point at the activity in your life and say, well, that's God's discipline. Because only, I think, each person's heart will know that. But when things are getting off track, when I feel off that well-worn path, it's right for me and each individual to ask, have I gotten out of step with the Lord here? Is the Lord trying to discipline me? Is the Lord trying to correct me? Is the Lord trying to get me out of the ditch here? And that's how discipline works in our lives. And as things turn bad, sometimes God wants to use that circumstance for all kind of reasons. And each person needs to do the work to ask, what is this circumstance? What is God trying to say and do in my life? And it's also right to watch others and not make the same mistakes that others have made. And learn from others and learn from those that are doing well in life. Psalm 37 starts out with a command that says, don't be envious of others. And then in verse 37, it says this, watch the blameless. Observe the upright. Watch those on the well-worn path. As a person of peace will have a future. It says, don't be envious of the wicked, but watch those who are upright. Because what you're watching is God's work, circumstances. How can I learn? How can I be like this? And how can I walk this well-worn path? There are those ahead of me. There are those behind me. How can I be of service to them? Part of His work is also just committing to obedience, to do the next right thing. You know, maybe you've seen that meme on Facebook or Instagram that says, you know, the person saying, "Man, I just wish I had a sign from heaven." You know, and it lists all the different things God had done. You got the Bible, you got church, you got relationships, and the person's still standing there going, "I just wish God would tell me something. I wish God would give me a sign." You know, you have your sign from heaven. You have His Word. You have people in your life. So the question the circumstances beg is, am I actually acting on the righteousness that I know, the truth that I know? It doesn't mean, you know, boiling the ocean. It just means doing the next right thing. Can I forgive that person that frustrated me yesterday? Can I say no to that temptation that's keeping me, that kept me down last week? And as we put together a lifetime of just simple obedience, we find greater power, we find greater relationship, we become a godlier counsel to others, and we find ourselves on that right path. So here we are, you're here today, you say, "I need renewal," or maybe you say, "I'm in a rut," or maybe you're just saying about something, you're like, "You know, I'm just not sure about dot, dot, dot." Well, here's four questions. Am I spending time in His Word? Am I doing what it says? Am I listening to His voice? Am I walking in His Spirit? Am I heeding or ignoring the advice of His godly counselors in my life? And am I learning from experience, my own and the experience of others? You know, they say the first rule of holes, when you're in one, stop digging, you know, and then stop climbing out. Well, here's a perfect recipe how to climb out of a hole, of a spiritual rut: His Word and prayer, His Spirit, His people, and His work. Well, I want us to do this morning. We'll take some time around our tables. You see, we have less tables this morning because that forced y'all to sit together a little bit, right? And no, we were locked out of the shed, really, so we have a less. But this morning we want to take some time at our tables and just maybe kind of process this for just a few minutes. And then I'll come back up and close us, and we'll have a last song of commitment. But take some time. How has these things proven true in your life? What have you experienced along the right paths? What have you experienced when you've gotten off the right paths? And maybe what's some godly counsel that you've received that's been beneficial to you? How are you practicing His Word and prayer, His Spirit? What have you learned from His work in your life and the life of others? Let's take about 5 to 7 minutes to discuss this morning.